You're listening to Are We All Clear? Facilitating Security Clearances, a podcast series brought to you by Holland & Knight's Facility Security Clearance Team. Over the course of this series, our attorneys will help take the mystery out of obtaining and maintaining security clearances for government contractors throughout the business life cycle. So are you ready to dive in and find out? Are we all clear?
Welcome to the 11th episode of Are We All Clear? The podcast on facilitating security clearances. I'm your host, Molly O'Casey, an international trade associate with Holland & Knight's Washington, D.C. office. Today's episode will discuss outside director and proxy holders, their role in the NISPOM framework in insulating a cleared company from its foreign owners, as well as practical approaches to outside directors and proxy holder selection, employment, and accountability. Today's speaker is Antonia Dzinova. Antonia leads Holland & Knight's Committee on Foreign Investments, also known as CFIUS, and our industrial security team. Welcome back to the podcast, Antonia.
Hi, Molly. It's good to be back.
Good to have you back. This episode kind of serves as a continuation of our previous episode on foci mitigation, foci being foreign ownership, control, or influence. For anyone listening to this episode as a one-off, could you provide some context on foci?
Sure. It's good to provide context. Happy to. So FOCI stands for foreign ownership, control, or influence. A company that performs on classified contracts cannot be under FOCI unless FOCI is mitigated. And here I said it three times already. FOCI mitigation is intended to prevent a foreign interest from adversely affecting the performance of classified contracts or preventing it from safeguarding classified information. As the acronym suggests, ownership is not the only way to control or influence a company. DCSA, the regulator, looks at formal and informal arrangements that allow the foreign person control over a cleared company or the ability to exert undue influence.
Right. And within the FOCI context, outside directors and proxy holders come up in the context of FOCI mitigation, right? Can you give us a brief overview of FOCI mitigation strategies?
Sure. I mean, these are spelled out specifically in the NISPOM. And NISPOM stands for the National Industrial Security Operating, National Industrial Security Program Operating Manual. Apologies. And FOCI is enforced by DCSA. I mentioned this one already. DCSA stands for Defense, Counterintelligence, and Security. Apologize for the soup of acronyms. So FOCI issues frequently come up during the initial facility clearance application or in the context of mergers and acquisitions, but that's not the only time. I mean, anytime a company signs up a major foreign contract and derive substantial amount of revenue from a foreign source, these would be things that need to be reported to DCSA and accordingly mitigated. To negate control stemming out of foreign ownership, DCSA uses a set of complex mitigation structures. Depending on the level of ownership or the level of clearance required, for example, secret versus top secret, there are three different agreements used, a security control agreement or SCA, a special security agreement or an SSA, or a proxy agreement. This is in contrast to small levels of foreign ownership or passive foreign ownership or some other form of influence, for example, foreign debt, where a board resolution or a special board resolution may be more appropriate. So it really depends on the mix of factors that need to be considered.
And as discussed in our last episode, this has the potential to come up a lot and become very complex.
That's right. I mean, companies that have been in this field for a while and doing it are probably well-versed. DCSA is a good resource to always guide them. But for a newcomer or for a complex transaction, it's usually advisable to involve counsel.
Brilliant. Thank you for setting the scene, Antonia. Within this context, what are outside directors and proxy holders?
Right. So as we said, where we have a more sizable foreign ownership, especially with voting rights, the cleared company, the foreign owners, and DCSA enter into an agreement. And it could be an SCA, an SSA, or a proxy agreement. And the agreement establishes the rights and obligations of the parties. And when I say the parties, I mean the cleared company, the foreign owners, and DCSA. Outside directors and proxy holders, a mechanism that is used in these mitigation structures to negate foreign ownership and foreign control. So these are independent US nationals. They are nominated by the foreign parent, but it's important to remember they are vetted and approved by DCSA in advance so that they can serve on the company's board of directors. On one hand, they exercise the rights of the foreign owner on the board. On the other hand, they ensure that the national security interests of the US are protected. In all cases, these must be US nationals with no prior relationship to the cleared company or the foreign owners to ensure their financial independence. And this is something that I really want to emphasize. I mean, if there has been any sort of financial involvement of this person, they will be disqualified as an outside director or proxy holder.
Right, which makes sense because I mean, money's a huge influence, right?
Yeah, I mean, the ability to generate revenue, whether as a person or as a company, it's a motivating factor. So yes, that's why it's important.
Right. That's an interesting sharing of power between the foreign owner and DCSA. The foreign parent nominates them, but ultimately they have to meet DCSA's approval, which makes sense as the outside director slash proxy holders kind of wears two hats, so to speak, in that they're both a board member and a protector of US national security interests. How do foreign investors select a person to serve as an outside director or proxy holder?
There is no set rule, or there is no like official registry where you can go and select a person. The only requirement is that these are US nationals with no prior relationship to the cleared company or the foreign owners. They must be cleared or eligible for clearance at the level of the company. But given the broad authority that they have, as we'll discuss in a moment, they should also be trustworthy, business savvy, knowledgeable. I mean, the foreign investor is kind of handing over control over the company to these people, and they should not be just like somebody who's eligible. They should also be able to manage a business. As I mentioned, there is no official registry where you can find anybody. So we, as outside counsel, maintain a roster of individuals who have expressed an interest to serve as an outside director or proxy holder. These are typically former government officials, retired army personnel. We're talking maybe at the level of general or in the government, you know, a director or somebody who's been in a high-level office with the government. So they understand the process, but they also have a proven record with the US government and also have some managerial experience and ambition enough to be able to run something. So, when we are assisting a client to set up an SSA or a proxy board, we may recommend people from our roster. Obviously, there are many ways to identify someone. The one thing that's important is that both the foreign parent and DCSA feel comfortable with the nominated person because they will be in effect running the company.
Yeah, that's quite a specific set of skills. I imagine we have a very interesting list of people.
Well, yeah, and we update it from time to time based on experiences, but it's a relatively small world. There are currently about 171 or 176 companies that are under such form of mitigation. So people know each other and we kind of get referrals this way.
We had discussed this notion of the two hats that outside directors and proxy holders wear. Could you tell us more about their exercise of rights for the foreign owner on the board, which we can kind of consider the first hat that they wear?
Sure. So to start off with a general setup in the business world, the shareholders of any company typically appoint the members of the board. And then the board appoints the officers of the company, the senior officers, senior management, who then runs the company. The board members act in a typical business context, act at the shareholders' leisure, so to speak. And in a typical business context, they can be removed by the shareholders with or without cause. Their primary goal is to protect the financial interest of the shareholders, and they run the company in line with the shareholders' vision and goals. When we talk about a cleared company, and in the case of an outside director or a proxy holder, they must protect the financial interest of the company, but they are more independent in their decisions of how to achieve this, like who to hire, who to promote. In the case of a proxy agreement, the proxy holders are the ones deciding on pretty much everything except for disposing of the company. So independence is a key distinctive factor when we're comparing a general business to a cleared company under or a FOCI mitigation.
So that's the more traditional corporate aspect of that role, which brings us to their second hat. How do outside directors and proxy holders protect the national security interests of the US?
So under the NISPOM, and again, National Industrial Security Program Operating Manual, and the mitigation agreement, whichever form that is, the proxy holders or the outside directors, they have a lot of authority to act as independent directors of the board. They are the ones who oversee any matters relating to the cleared company's classified contracts, like hiring employees, staffing, establishing security policies and procedures. They are cleared at the level of the company, and at least some must be present at any board meeting for the board to constitute quorum for the board to make any decisions. And under these agreements, there is a special committee of the board called the Government Security Committee or GSC. The outside directors or the proxy holders are members of the GSC. And through the GSC, they handle all matters related to safeguarding classified information.
Ooh, GSC, a new acronym. How exciting.
That's right.
So we've got the outside directors and proxy holders who are members of the GSC, which sounds like it's sort of its own thing within the board. Who else is on the board? Are there other members of the board? How should we be conceptualizing them as we consider FOCI mitigation?
Good one. So let's start with the difference between an outside director and a proxy holder, and then I'll address your other question. As you know, we have different mitigation structures. We mentioned them a couple of times already, an SCA, an SSA, and a proxy agreement. These are the three major ones. The SCA and the SSA call for outside directors. And so when I say outside directors, this is to distinguish the outside director from the inside director. So here we have a new figure, if you will. While in each case, the foreign owner nominates them, I mean, both the outside and the inside directors, DCSA must vet and approve the outside directors before they take their positions on the board. The inside directors do not need to be vetted by DCSA. So in that sense, they are true representatives of the foreign owner on the board. Consequently, the inside director cannot be cleared, even if they are a US national. So, in a company under an SCA or an SSA, you have a mix of outside and inside directors and what are called officer directors. These are cleared senior officers of the company that can also serve as directors. One important rule about outside directors is that they always outnumber the inside directors. So, you typically see three outside directors and one or two inside directors. Now, taking this to the proxy agreement. When it comes to a proxy agreement, which is the strictest form of mitigation, where the foreign parent is literally a passive investor in the cleared company, there are three independent cleared US nationals that have been vetted and approved by DCSA before they step into the shoes of the foreign shareholder. And once they do, they act as the owners, they act as members of the board. The proxy holders exercise all prerogatives of ownership with complete freedom to act independently from the foreign stockholders. including full responsibility for the voting stock and for exercising all management prerogatives. And there are very limited exceptions to that. As I mentioned earlier, the proxy holders must obtain approval from the foreign shareholder for the sale or disposal of the company or a substantial part of its assets, and that's about it. Under proxy agreement, there are no inside directors, so the proxy holders have full responsibility of overseeing management of the cleared company. It is this ability of the outside directors and proxy holders to act independently from the foreign owners that ensures they guard the national security interest of the US board, as we discussed earlier. But to come full circle to your initial question, yes, in addition to the outside directors or proxy holders, there are other members of the board. And so we can have inside directors in the case of SCA, SSA, or we can have cleared officers, directors. These are senior management that are cleared and can also serve on the board, and you can have them under either scenario.
So basically, for SSAs and SCAs, we have outside directors, inside directors, and office directors. The outside director plays a direct role in, as the name would suggest, in FOCI mitigation, and the inside director is a traditional foreign owner on the board. Whereas the officer director is like any senior officer of a company, but they've obtained a security clearance from DCSA and can serve as directors.
That is correct.
Then for proxy agreements, we have proxy holders, and the proxy holders step into the shoes of the owners and have minimal limitations on what they can do. So they basically just,
Praise the world.
yeah, I was trying to think of a good analogy that didn't sound like over dramatic. I couldn't come up with one.
But that's the case. They
Yeah.
really have that much authority over the company.
Who do outside directors and proxy holders report to? Is this DCSA or the foreign parent?
So, good one. The outside directors and proxy holders owe fiduciary duty to the company. I mean, they must protect the business and the foreign shareholders' investment and financial interest in the company. I mean, they cannot run amok and kind of lose the value of the foreign investor. At the same time, as we spoke, they must act independently from the foreign parent so that they can protect the national interest of the US and safeguard the classified information in the possession of the company. I mean, these are cleared individuals. Anybody who's cleared owes allegiance and has to follow certain protocols in order to be able to maintain their personnel clearance. And so this kind of duality, if you will, may sometimes create tension with the foreign parent, as the foreign parent has very little visibility into the running of the company. And that's why it is very important that there is a clear line of communication between the outside directors or proxy holders and the foreign parent. It's a trust relationship, so it is important for both sides to create the right environment for the trust to be built. And just one example from this is like based on what acting outside directors have communicated and have shared as good practice is like after every board meeting or after every meeting of the GSC, the Government Security Committee of the board, the outside directors invite the foreign parent, maybe over Zoom or a short call or in-person meeting, and just provide a briefing. This briefing is at a very high level, obviously intended to inform the parent without disclosing any classified information or somehow adversely affecting the ability of the company to protect classified information. But the willingness of the GSC to communicate regularly with the foreign parent establishes trust. And this is where, again, I said it's important for people who serve in those positions to have some business savvy because they need to make business decisions of the company that they may not be able to report to the foreign parent.
Right. And this is a duality that we already discussed in the selection process that's kind of present throughout this role. You highlighted that it's important that the outside director and proxy holder not have received payments or have a relationship with the company prior to selection, which I think raises an interesting question of once they have been instated, how does compensation work?
Right. So, on one hand, the outside directors or proxy holders decide on compensation matters for all employees of the company, including the senior officers, like president, etc. But their own compensation has to be negotiated with the foreign parent at the start. I mean, or before they take off the position. And this is similar to, negotiations with any other board member of a company. But why it's important to negotiate in advance? Because the foreign parent should not use compensation as a mechanism to exert undue influence. And so usually there is a compensation agreement in place that spells out the initial salary, any increases, what they're conditioned on, any agreed to business targets that the company should reach for certain increases to be effectuated. So it's important that these things be well thought through in advance so that the foreign parent, as I said, can't exert influence over the outside director or proxy holder once they take over. And that kind of preserves the independence of the company and comports with DCSA and the NISPOM requirement to run the company free of over control, free of control from the foreign parent.
Right, the C in foci.
Yes, that's right.
I think this raises another interesting potential point of influence, which is, can the foreign parent remove the outside director or proxy holder?
Only for cause and only after consultation and approval by DCSA. What does it mean for cause? I mean, for those who are not lawyers out there has to be some reason. I mean, a violation of commitments or violation of duty. And then that becomes the basis for the parents to request that DCSA approve the removal. We mentioned that in a general setup outside in the regular business world, shareholders can remove a director for no cause, which means at will. They just kind of today they come and they say, okay, that's it. Thank you for your service. This cannot happen in the case of a outside director or proxy holder without DCSA approval and prior notification. So, in very rare circumstances, when action by the outside director or proxy holder threatens to have serious negative impact on the business, the foreign parent can remove on the spot and notify DCSA immediately. But this is done really to protect the business. It's not something that happens every day. And as you said, in all cases, it's for cause and with prior notification to DCSA, with this rare exception. As a consequence, even if the company is no longer involved in classified work or no longer owned by a foreign person, which is the basis to establish a proxy board or like out to have outside directors, the shareholders or the new US owners can just dismantle the proxy board or remove the outside directors. They must seek approval from DCSA before they can remove them. And sometimes this is known to take close to a year.
Right, so potentially a nasty surprise in the mergers and acquisition world.
Well, you know in advance that you have to deal with that, but you may not have considered that. You may need to carry these people for another few months.
We split foci into multiple episodes, demonstrates that this is an involved process. Proxy agreements especially seem pretty intense. If the shareholders cede so much power to the outside directors and proxy holders, what motivates foreign companies to invest into cleared US companies?
Good one. Being able to work on classified contracts for the US government is a very good business, very lucrative, and it's worth the investment. And that is why every major foreign defense contractor has some form of investment in the US and in cleared companies too. So we're talking about all the big names out there. And at the end of the day, they do it because it's good business.
Alrighty. Thank you for coming on, Antonia.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
This area is full of acronyms. This week we had FOCI, or Foreign Ownership Controller Influence, FCL, Facility Security Clearance, NISPOM, National Industrial Security Program Operating Manual, DCSA, Defense Counterintelligence and Security Agency, SSA, Special Security Agreements, SCA, Security Control Agreements, and a new one, GSC, Government Security Committee. So each episode, we ask our speaker to explain an acronym that featured in the episode with wrong answers only. Antonia, would you like to choose an acronym?
Sure. So I'll go with SSA, and my meaning is singular security awareness. I mean, recognize that there are many legal structures and mechanisms in the classified world that are not found in general business. And if you want to enter this world, you will need to become familiar with different aspects of industrial security so that you can run smooth operations.
Thank you for adding to our awareness.
Absolutely.
I hope everyone has a great week.
Thank you for listening to Are We All Clear? Facilitating Security Clearances, a podcast series brought to you by Holland & Knight. For more information on our facility security clearance team, please visit hklaw.com/FCL.